Start off with verse number 30. It's what we chose as a theme verse for this book. It says, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask the Lord to help us this morning. Lord, I pray you help us. Lord, I pray that you give us exactly what we need. And Lord, help me, give me clarity of thought, give me clarity of speech, Lord, and speak to our hearts about this wonderful book of the Bible. Teaches us how you are supposed to be Lord of the church, and Lord, how sometimes when we falter, Lord, we need to be corrected. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, this place, the Church of Corinth here, that's here. The author, first of all, most of us would know the author as being Apostle Paul. Even give you a little background there. It talks about here that Church Corinth was founded by the Apostle Paul. He did this during his second missionary journey. He stayed in Corinth a year and 6 months. It was in Corinth that he first met Aquila and Priscilla. Now, most of us know, if you know much about the Bible, if you know much about cities and know much about Bible knowledge, you know that the city of Corinth was a really wicked place. The city of Corinth had a give you a little description here. Corinth was a center of commerce located in Greece. It was under Roman control. It had three good harbors and commanded the traffic of both the eastern and western seas of the Mediterranean. It was a city of wealth, luxury, and immorality. One historian put it this way: here, vice is raised to religion, and the idolaters of Corinth are fitly set between the fornicators and the adulterers. From the filthiest law of sin, Paul's converts at Corinth were extracted. Not even in Antioch had he seen the condition of the Gentile world. Its pride and power, its fancied wisdom, and its utter depravity was displayed so vividly. Look what it says in chapter 1 and verse number 2. It says, "Unto the church of God which is at Corinth." And you get here in chapter 1 and verse number 2, you see this phrase, "the church of God." It's a church. And this is God's church. But then you also see in that next phrase, the city or at Corinth. You think about all the wickedness and all the things they did. Believe me, it would make you blush if you considered. It's worse than the Las Vegases of the world. It's worse than the most corrupt cities that you consider. And this day and time, these people in Corinth could actually teach them about sex and immorality. That's how bad they were. But inside this city, Paul had stayed for a year and a half, and inside this city, you see Paul, with God's help, starts a church and builds a church in Corinth. You see the distinction there and the difference there between the city and the church. And you say, well, what's the letter about? Well, the occasion of the letter, it appears that Paul had been informed of the problems in the church by them that are out of the house of Chloe. In addition to this, a letter had been written to him with questions concerning certain situations existing in the church. He begins to answer those in from chapter 7 through chapter 16. It was apparently carried to Paul. He was at Ephesus. We see that in chapter 16, verse number 8, by three different men. And then Paul begins to answer these questions in chapter 7. There's six particular areas that he mentions in these chapters. And we're going to go through this pretty quickly because I want to get to that eternal permanent value. But these six different things that he mentioned and he worked on, these are different questions that were probably asked and the things that he mentioned. Now concerning the things in chapter 7, verse number 1, marriage and celibacy. Now concerning the things offered to idols and talking about eating of the meats of the idols. Now I praise you, brother, and talked about chapter 11, verse number 2. This talks about sex propriety and the assembly and general behavior at the Lord's Supper. It talks about the men and women, what they're supposed to look like and things like that. That's where you got about the long hair and the covered head in chapter 11. But also talks about the Lord's Supper there, about how they were abusing the Lord's Supper and what they were doing in these feasts before the Lord's Supper. Now it talks in chapter 12 about spiritual gifts, and the great chapter in chapter 15 about the resurrection. Also talks about giving in chapter 16. So those are the six main areas, the things that I believe that Paul was asked questions about and Paul was taking care of by writing back these letters. Paul could not come at that moment in time. He even seems like they chided with Paul a little bit in the book about why he could not come to him, why he could not help. And Paul was telling him there was a great door open before him in Ephesus. Now, if you want an outline for the book, You can go back to chapter 1 and verse number 30, and that's why we chose this as a theme verse, because it kind of gives us a little bit of an outline. It says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Through this verse itself, it gives us kind of a brief outline. Obviously, you have the introduction in chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. But then you talk about the divisions in the church, the discipline in the church, the difficulties in the church in dealing with sanctifications, the questions they had asked, and the disbelief in the church, talking in chapter 15 about the resurrection. They had changed that. They were questioning that. And then you see a conclusion. Now, remember, in the city of Corinth was known for what? Wickedness, known for sexual things. Even the great temple that was there from Aphrodite, they had like a thousand prophetesses, and all they were nothing but harlots or prostitutes. I mean, that's their religion had come so much, it became the fact that their vice was a religion. The lordship of Christ, especially in the church, this is why I think the theme is all about. This is why I think the whole book is about. He's telling the city of Corinth, no, he's not telling the city of Corinth, he's telling the church of Corinth, that God is supposed to be the head of the church. That's what it says in verse number 2, chapter 1, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. The word Lord is found 62 different times in this book. It's found 7 times in the first chapter, 6 times in the first 10 verses. But there's a big difference between the city of Corinth and the church of Corinth. This is where it all starts at. What happened to the church of Corinth? How come the church of Corinth was having all these different carnality problems, all these different divisions, all these different problems inside the church? What happened? Well, what happened was that the city of Corinth influenced the church of Corinth more than the church of Corinth influenced the city. See, the logic and the thinking and the it was trickling down from the city and it was entering into the church. And what is the church supposed to do? It's supposed to help change the city. It's supposed to help change those without. They're supposed to reach out to them and it's supposed to make a difference. It's supposed to shine like a light in the world. But what has happened is that in the city of Corinth has began instead to trickle into the church. And you'll see that in this book, there are so many wicked things that this church of Corinth was involved in and as a part of. You say, where did they learn it at? They learned it from the outside city. But remember, who is Paul writing to? He's not writing to the city of Corinth. Because if he would have wrote to the city of Corinth, he probably could name some more things. He's writing to those that claim to be saved, those that claim to be Christians, those that claim that they know God. And that's what he's talking here in verse number 2. They that call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, our Lord, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So when we come to his eternal permanent value, we see that the lordship of Christ is what Paul is emphasizing. Hey, when you go to this church, you need to understand that it is God's church. It is not your church. It's God's church. It's not for you to do whatever you think is right. It's not for you to do whatever you think is best. That's what the whole part of the book is throwing the lordship out there. He is supposed to be Lord of your life. He's supposed to be Lord of the church. Here's some problems in the church of Corinth. And this is the reason we don't always just look at the problems. But here in the Corinth, this is a big part of the letter. Problems in the church of Corinth. First of all, they're not spiritually minded people. We had kind of mentioned this already. The city affected the church instead of the church affecting the city, which caused these Christians to be immature. The city affected the church more than the church affected the city, which caused the church to be immature. That's the problem in America many times today. That's the problem in many churches today, even in good independent fundamental Baptist churches. That they let the world affect them so much throughout the week that when they come into the church, what do they want to act like? They want to act like the world. They don't want to act like God's people. They don't want to live like God's people. They don't like having the standards that God tells them to have. Instead, they rather live like the world. And as they live like the world, it trickles right into the church where people say, hey, let's change some of this, pastor. Let's change some of our music so it can sound like something that people can enjoy a little bit more. Or let's change some of the standards that they have. Or let's change some of the philosophies. You know, that's what happened in Corinth. These things trickled down into the church to now they're acting just as bad, if not worse, than some of those that are outside in Corinth. Matthew 5:13, the Bible says, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewithal shall be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men." This is what happened to the church, is it came worthless because of the fact that they have allowed this world and the city to enter into the church. And the Bible is saying, look, if you have that type of salt, if you're that type of salt and you have no light, there's no purpose then. Paul is writing to the church here, not the city. When you hear the fact that this man is inside the church, it's not somebody outside the city, it's inside the church, is having an affair with his own mother. I mean, that's wickedness. And that's somebody inside the church. And Paul's saying, that shouldn't be there. Get rid of it. Get that out of there. What was that philosophy? That was a philosophy of the free sex that was going out there in Corinth, all the wickedness going out in Corinth, and they were letting it come into the church. That's a couple different things here I want you to see. Problems inside the church. And in Corinth, in that day, people would argue over religion. It was a spot where people would come and they would fight for their own beliefs. It became a spot of where wisdom was relished. Near Greece, it came to a spot where wisdom was something that they would come, and one of the things they would do is they would argue over their own beliefs. These arguments came into the church, and it caused a great division. The spirit of Corinth, the city, invaded the church. And so what happens then? You see that there is a religious license. People began to think, well, if these guys out here can argue about their religion, they can argue about their beliefs, let me bring that into the church and let me begin instead to argue with those that are in the church. Let me start trying to figure out. And that's where you have a bunch of splits in a church, is that when people are not interested in being the church of God, and God's church, and doing things God's way, but instead they rather look at how they can be treated and what they think is right. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 10 through 13. This led to divisions. The church, the city of Corinth influenced the church of Corinth, influenced its members, and this caused what? Problems in the church. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians 1, verse number 10. It says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you." Paul is saying, look, there is no right for you to have divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Now, this is something that needs to be taught in our churches today. There's divisions many times. There's different cliques. There's different people that feel different ways, and they just feel like they can only associate with themselves. That's not the way it's supposed to be. The Bible says that you're supposed to be fitly joined together. A local body of believers is supposed to be for a certain purpose and a certain reason and for a certain cause of Christ. And what here is what's happening in Corinth, you see in verse number 11. He says, "For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I of Christ." Now what they're doing is they're saying, look, I'm a follower of Paul, or I'm a follower of Apollos. But if you know your Bible, Apollos was a great orator. He was a great speaker. He was somebody that was, I believe, lives changed when he came across Paul's path. And he was a good preacher. Guess like this one, he says, "And I of Cephas," that he's saying, hey, that's Peter. That's another name for Peter. So inside this church, there's little sanctions. There's little divisions. One that says, hey, I'm for Paul. Another one says, hey, well, Apollos is my man. Another one's saying, hey, Peter's my man. Then you got this super piety that says, hey, I'm of Christ. And in here, there's a division that is causing the problems. And where does it come from? The city of Corinth is influencing the church of Corinth instead of the other way around. And there's divisions. You go to chapter number 3. Go to chapter number 3. And you see that these divisions cause spiritual immaturity. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 says, verse number 1, "I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you of milk and not with meat." Now, Paul is sitting here saying, hey, look, I can't tell you the truths that you need to learn, doctrines you need to learn, because you never learned the stuff in the first place. You got divisions among you. You got foolishness being spoken among you. So I have to go back to the beginning and remind you of something. "For hitherto ye were not able to bear, neither yet now are you able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And see, Paul is sitting here saying, stop saying that you're following after man, you're following after God. Verse number 7, it says, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. And that's what Paul is saying to his church at Corinth. It is all about God. That's the person who we're supposed to be worshiping. Verse number 8, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. And he's teaching them here, look, you've allowed these divisions to come into your church, and this is called immaturity. Go back to chapter number 1 once again. Look at verse number 13. Paul, after doing all this reasoning by saying, you know, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas. In verse number 13, he says, is Christ divided? He says, how in the world can you go to a church and then say, hey, I'm doing this, I'm doing this, I'm doing this? He says, is Christ divided? And the answer is no. Was Paul crucified for you? No. And were you baptized in the name of Paul? And he is trying to teach you. And this is, he's laying a bomb on them saying, hey, look, you need to grow up. You need to stop being so immature. The church is about God. The church is about Jesus Christ. And now go set aside your little petty differences and go do something for God. But see, out in the city, it was famous. They would sit on the corners and they would argue and banter and debate the facts and the beliefs of religion about these gods and all these other things. Where that trickled down and entered into the heart of the church. And that's where the problem is. Are you letting the world affect you? Or is the world are you affecting the world for God? And that's what happens here. Corinth is not affecting the world for God. Instead, the world is affecting Corinth. And what do you see? You see a bunch of immaturity. Now, I don't think we're that bad at it here at this church. And you're not privy to all the things I see, all the little arguments or things like that. But, you know, there should not be divisions. We should work together for one common cause. That's for Jesus Christ. And we should be able to join up together. I'm not saying we put up with sin, because Paul even here says this, you know, in this book. You'll see that he says, get rid of them if they're going to sit there and do those wicked things. They don't belong in the church. But he's saying here that we should be able to work together. It doesn't matter what our backgrounds are. It doesn't matter what color skin we have. It doesn't matter how much money you got in the bank or don't have in your bank account. It doesn't really matter. If you come to be a part of a church, you should be able to work together, and let's do something to influence the world. And that's what the problem is, though. The big problem in Corinth was the world was influencing them. Another thing that you see happen, not only was immaturity because of divisions, you see a moral laxity. This is the big vice in Corinth. It says here, the temple Aphrodite was there, and the city operated about this temple. This crept into the church. You know, sin was all over the place in Corinth. It was on the street corners. It was on the streets. It was, like I said, worse than Las Vegas. If you wanted to go fulfill your lust, you can go to a temple and have your lust fulfilled. It's wickedness. But here, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5:1, it says, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And you think about this. The city had corrupted the church so much that Paul says, it is reported commonly. Man, what a testimony. What a testimony for your church. Can you imagine if I go to the church Corinth? Oh, that's that place where that man is living with his father's wife. Isn't that disgusting? And that's what Paul is saying here. Look, this is reported commonly. This is the testimony you have out in the city. They're laughing at you because of the fact that, and he even says here, as such fornication as is not so much named among the Gentiles, that the Gentiles are acting better than those in the church. And that's what it says here, that one should have that's the moral laxity. That's, where did it come from? It didn't come from the preaching and teaching. That wasn't the church that Paul had planted and Paul had started. The city had come into the church, and that's why we must be guarded for the church. Even Corinth didn't act as bad as the church did in some areas. Now, is this everybody? No. Obviously, this house of Chloe writes to Paul. He's looking for help, and they're reaching out. And I get this. They're wanting to know what to do with these things. But why is the book here? Why is the book found here? You know, these are all private things. Why in the world did God allow this to be in the canon of scriptures? Paul had obviously written a letter before. Why didn't God include this one? Well, God included this one to teach us and show us that God is supposed to be the Lord of the church. He's the one on the throne, and we should not let pettiness cause divisions, and we should not put up with moral laxities. This is not something that is supposed to happen. It's supposed to happen in church. Then you also not only have the divisions and the moral laxity, you also have social disorder. Social disorder. Chapter 6, verses 1 through 6, talks about taking brothers to court. Talking about taking Christian brothers and sisters to court there. And you go, you read that. That's something here that this thought, this idea of money. And he's saying, look, isn't there other Christians that can be among you? Why are you taking a Christian brother to an unsaved man to make the decisions? Let's look here in chapter 6 and read verses 1 through 6 here. We'll do this really quickly. Chapter 6. Verses 1 through 6 says, "Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do ye not know the saints shall judge the world? And if the world should be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgment of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. If it's so that there is not a wise man among you, no, not one that shall be able to judge between the brethren. But brother, go to the law with brother, and that before the unbelievers." They couldn't even settle their own problems. Instead, what do? They go before unbelievers. And that's something that Paul is saying. Look, that should not happen. You should be able to work these things out amongst yourself. You should be able to go to someone else that you can count as a person who is wise and work these details out. Another thing I think was one of the problems in this church is they didn't realize the purpose of the church. They didn't realize the purpose of the church. Say, Pastor, where do you get that from? Well, you get to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and he is explaining the resurrection. And I like that chapter because it helps us understand some things. It helps us understand some things. But that Paul is telling him, look, you need to be reaching out to the lost. The church was so interested in what? They're interested in themselves. They had social disorder. You think about it, the days when they're talking about the Lord's Supper. You go back there and he says how some would come and feast and how others would have nothing, would sit there and starve. They wouldn't be willing to help their brothers and sisters when they were getting ready to go take part of the Lord's Supper, this feast love that they feast meal that they had beforehand. They would sit there and look down upon others while some are performing the sin of gluttony. I mean, it's just ridiculous the way that they treat it. They forgot the whole purpose of the church was to reach out and to reach others to Jesus Christ and edify and to grow and to disciple. Instead, it came about their spot and where they were looked upon. He said, where do you see that? Well, you think about in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, Paul is going through this whole thing, and what are they interested in? They're interested in their gifts. They all want to speak in tongues. They all want to have this power. They all want to have this power. They all want to have this talent. But what does Apostle Paul says? He says, I have a better way for you, a more excellent way. And he talks about loving. It goes into 1 Corinthians chapter 13. See, the spirit of the day crept into the church, and the church changed. And this is what is happening all across America today. The spirit of the world is creeping into the churches, and the church is changing. You can't go to a lot of places you can go a lot of places where the preacher sits down when he preaches. So, and they don't want to preach on sin anymore. They don't want to tell you that you're a sinner and that you're dying and going to hell. They don't want to do that anymore. Why is that? Because somebody a long time ago took a survey, went around and said, what don't you like about church? He says, we don't like the fact that they have an invitation. We don't like the fact that they preach so much about sin. We don't like the fact that they ask for your money all the time. We don't like, but see, and in that world's philosophy, people have gone out and they've started churches, and they started churches with that philosophy, and that what you have is a lot of community churches today where the gospel's never preached. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying everything that has the word community on it is not preaching the gospel, because I have people that says, I visited that church and they gave a clear presentation of the gospel. Well, praise the Lord, the gospel's going out. But you can still see the world's infestering those churches. And they got the world's music, they got the world's this, they got the world's that, and they're trying to dumb themselves down to where they can reach the world for God by using the world's ways. And you cannot please the flesh and the spirit at the same time. Either you're going to please God or you're going to please the world. And here's the problem is the church has been taken over many times by the world. And that's why we got to be careful. And that's what the whole book is about here, is Paul is telling them, look, he is the Lord of the church. He's the one in charge. You need to obey him. He puts people in proper perspective when it came to their gift. They are more concerned about their gift than they were the lost. You know what? We get so more concerned about our seat in church than the fact there might be a visitor there. And I know we don't have that here. I know no one would ever dare go ask somebody to move because that's where they usually sit at, especially if it's a visitor. Now, I know nobody would do that, but I'm just saying that's the thought. You've heard stories like that where people says, oh, that's my spot. Can you go sit somewhere else? They not say, welcome for coming. Can I sit next to you? No, they're like, can you move? I mean, they guess we have lost the reason for the church. We've lost the purpose of the church because the world has invaded the church in so many areas. And you can sit there and you can argue with me all you want. The exact same thing happened to Corinth. Paul is trying to keep them straight. Paul is saying, look, the moral laxity is wrong. The divisions are wrong. You have social disorder. And the whole purpose was because they forgot the purpose of the church is to reach people for Jesus Christ and to disciple people for Jesus Christ. You know what? If they were reaching people for Jesus Christ and disciple people for Jesus Christ, they wouldn't be saying, hey, I'm of Apollos and I'm of Paul and I'm of Peter. They wouldn't be doing that. They wouldn't be allowing sin to sit there and fester amongst them, and you see what's going on and stay silent. They wouldn't. They would not allow social disorder. They would not allow these things to happen. Instead, they would be jealous, and they would guard the church and say, the church is God's. It's not ours. Let's think about how can the church succeed? How can the church succeed? Well, it's by living for God's glory, not their own. Here's the purpose. You know, why do we got church? Why do we come to church? It's for God's glory. It's not for ours. You see this in 1 Corinthians 10:21. I think it's a really interesting verse. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. What Paul is saying is you can't act like Corinth and expect to be the church of Corinth. I still don't get it. I know we got a Corinth Baptist Church here in Elizabeth City. I still don't get why somebody would name their church Corinth. But I know maybe it's just because of the fact that God's grace is there and I'm not picking on. I don't know even anybody over there. But they're all across America. Maybe it's because it's a testimony that God's grace in the midst of a wicked. Because I think that's wonderful. You think it's a wicked city of Corinth, and right there in the middle, you see a church. I mean, that's awesome. Maybe that's the reason why they did it. But Corinth here, they got a lot of problems. And here, what they are trying to do is, one cup they're trying to drink for the Lord, but out of the same cup they're saying that they're drinking out of the cup of the devils. They want both. They want the world and they want God at the same time. And that just does not happen. You can't be partaking of the Lord's table and say, you know what, this is, and do the things that are devilishly and wrong. So how do you succeed? Well, it's found in 1 Corinthians 10:31. It says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. That's there. If you want to succeed, that's what we have to look to do. Now, don't get me wrong. I know we might disagree on little things, but are we going to let divisions cause a problem? Are we going to let the world creep in just because I might feel a certain way? I'm going to force my way through. That's the world's way of doing things. Are we going to be like the world, or are we going to be like the church that God wanted us to be? So, you come to the spot. Pastor, how do I apply this to my life? Well, there's a lot of ways we can apply that to our life. First, Christ should be the Lord of our life. There's two different living truths today. Christ should be the Lord of your life. Just like the church at Corinth was crept in by the city of Corinth and had changed so many different things inside the city, He saw the immaturity because of the divisions that they got from watching everybody else argue about religion. Hey, look, if everybody else can argue about religion, why can't we do it inside the church house? And if everybody else can be immoral out there, why can't we do that in the church house? If everybody else can be caring only about money or prestige and power, why can't we do that in the church house? It's because you can't be taking of the cup of the Lord and the cup of the devils at the same time. There should be a place where someone can come and worship God. And so, first, how does that apply to you? You can't have both. It's either God or the world. You're not going to be serving God and serving world at the same time. We like to think we got to have our hands in both, or just sitting on the fence, or 80 or 90% into the God side and just reaching over every once in a while for the world. But the Bible says either you're pleasing the flesh or you're pleasing the spirit. And that's why the Bible says, it goes even to the most simple things. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do. He's talking about the most basic things in your life, eating and drinking. He says you can even do that to God's glory. And that's how we need to remember that God cares about every area of our life. Another thing is we should guard our church against the world. We should guard our church against the world. And I'm not naive. It might be dumb, but I'm not stupid. I know not maybe my standards might be a little different than some of the people that come to the church. I understand that. I understand why I believe. I can show you from the Bible what I believe. And some of you might say, hey, look, that standard's too high. You go a little too far there. And you know what? Some of you might say you have a higher standard than I do in some areas. I know that some people in our church that don't go to a place that serves alcohol with their meals because they don't want to take an establishment like that. And I don't go very often to a place. I never go to the bar. I never drink anything. But that's not a standard that I have in my life. But some people have that. Praise the Lord for that standard. And I'm not going to argue or fight over you about that. I'm not going to make fun of you. I think it's wonderful when somebody has a higher standard. That's great. But at the same time, we need to learn that we need to guard our church against this world. You know, I have people, not all the time, because they probably got tired of coming and talking to me about it. But I mean, there's, Pastor, can't we change this? Or Pastor, can't we change that? Pastor, can't we change this? And I tell them, look, these are standards that we set up. And the reason why we put these standards here is so that we don't want the world to get in. Because if we start lowering things, guess what's going to happen? The world's going to come in. And I, you might think, oh, most of us accept it. It's not a big deal. I get people not complaining, but people always asking, well, why is it going to be? Why is it going to be? And I understand the world has become, the world has changed. And Pastor, shouldn't we be like the 21st century today? Shouldn't we be doing this? I'm like, the church does not need to be like 21st century. There's not much going good in the 21st century, but there is a lot of things going good at a church that believes for God. So, do we need to be like, have the spirit of the age? I don't think so. We need to have the spirit of Christ. And I don't think we need to change that. And it says it here in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, take your life that God's given you and glorify God with it. And like I said, me and you might not have the exact same standard in something. But you know what? You live according to what you think God has called you to do. But remember, this is not just your church. This is God's church. And we're going to be protective against that. It's not, like I said, I don't have many issues or problems over the years. And I appreciate when people come tell me. So especially if they're willing to be taught and willing for me to say, this is the scripture, why I believe this. I love that opportunity to be able to talk to people about that. Also, you think about it, 1 Corinthians 7:23, you are bought with a price, be not ye the servants of men. We don't want to be the servants of men here. We want to be the servants of God. So how do we get there? We don't let the world come in. Now, does the world come in sometimes? Yeah. It talks about in Galatians how those men came into the church. They snuck in the church to expose their liberty. And that what they were doing is they were coming into the church with their whole mindset is, I'm going to change. I am going to tear this church apart. That was their part. That was their purpose. And that's how people allow it. That's why you need to pray for your church. That's why you need to pray for your pastors. That's why you need to pray that God will keep our church pure. And I hate it. I hate it when people leave. You know, we work hard, try to get people to come in, right? We go outside and knock on doors, sometimes when it's cold, sometimes when, why do we want people to come. We hate it when people leave. But, if it's over something that, that they want to change something that's in the church and they want to cause problems, maybe sometimes it's best that they do leave, because the church is worth protecting. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you for this book of the Bible. I know some would look at this and say, why in the world is it even there? I thankful, Lord, in your ultimate wisdom, your infinite wisdom, Lord, you place us here to help teach us that if we allow the world into our church, it's going to become a worldly place. Lord, help us to have a church, Lord, that's honoring and pleasing to you. Help us to know that there are different things going on that can still please you, Lord, and help us not to be a place that that is in any way bringing dishonor to your name. I think you would have said that not even those Gentiles acted as bad as some of those people in that church. Lord, that's a shame. That's a shame to your name. Lord, help us not to let the world in our church. Help us not to let the world in our lives, too. Lord, help us to stand strong and guard against it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, that was the first bell, so make sure that you're quiet if you have to go towards the back, because there's still classes going on. Thank you. You're dismissed. I feel like I'm droggy. I don't know why these people have...